You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Family Life Cycle.
We need to be aware of the times and the seasons. And in our family lives, there are times and there are seasons. So there's things you do at different times and there's different seasons. And one of the reasons why we're looking at, you can put the other slide up now. We're looking at this family life cycle here starting at 12 o'clock and going clockwise. You start off, this is the natural progression of things. This is God's order of things. So you start off as an unattached young adult. Then you come on over to about 2 o'clock, and then after unattached young adult. Again, I couldn't get my unattached young adults here because one of them is in New York. The other one last week was he at last week?
Atlanta.
He was in Atlanta, and tonight he's on his way to Mississippi. See, because he's an unattached young adult. Okay, and so when you're unattached young adult, you're on the road, you just doing what you want to do. In his case, he's only here back in the States for 3 months before he heads back to Finland, and his fiance is in Atlanta. So you're unattached young adult, you just go, I'm going here, I'm going there, you don't ask anybody, you got the money, you just do what you want to do. And then you move on, then you become a newly married couple. That was our son Tyler and my daughter-in-law Lise, and they shared about how they are coupling. That's called coupling. Coupling is like, it means we are into each other. Y'all leave us alone. Okay, we see you when we see you. Kind of thing. I found out, I didn't get on them because they're coupling. And we thought they was out of town they went out of town for her family reunion in Dallas. Then come to find out they was back in town on Sunday. But they was coupling, so they wasn't at church. Okay, because they're coupling, see what I'm saying? And they're focusing just on each other and coupling, whatever coupling does when you're coupling, you know what I'm saying? Then you go on there and you become a family with young children. That's where we're going to talk and focus most of our attention tonight. And then you become a family with older children. That's the adolescents. Then you become a launching family, and you become family in later years, retirement years. Now, it was our goal to try to go through this cycle here in about 4 weeks. And it's so interesting because Pastor Marshall and I said after we looked at what the subject matter and what we're talking today in our noon Bible study, we realized, man, we really need to be able to slow down and take our time with this stuff and not just try to focus. So we just may be focusing on the family for the rest of the summer. All right. And not really trying to rush this, because after we give these things, we want to take some questions and answers, and we want to get down to all the more the nitty gritty of how to walk through these cycles. So again, this family life cycle, as they call refer to it in the social world, the family life cycle, it's talking about the emotional and intellectual stages that you pass through from childhood into your retirement years as a member of a family. And as you pass through these various times and seasons in your families, the relationships of the others who've been with you in the other periods change as well. And so you got to navigate with the new aspect of your life. You got to navigate with the people who knew you in this stage, but now you're not in that stage anymore. You got to navigate through now becoming, focused on this stage and still trying to balance with some remnants from the other stage in terms of your old or immediate family members, etc. So you need to know how to navigate and negotiate through each of these stages. And as we said, young adults, that's the pre-stage, pre-family stage, you're unattached adults. We said you're independent, prodigal son. He was independent. He can make his own choices, decide to leave home, but there were some consequences to his choices. So for all of you who are in that young, independent adults, young adult stage, you can do what you want to do. Just know it's consequences to everything you do. And the consequence can be good, consequence can be bad. The problem is that sometimes people think they're old enough and big enough and bold enough to do whatever you want to do, and then your consequences become other people's problems. That ain't cool, because we didn't pass from that stage. Okay, and we're not trying to deal necessarily with the problems of that stage, but unfortunately, that's what family is about. Right. Family has to do that. The thing I don't like about this sounds real weird. The thing I don't like about family
Wow.
It's that family, you got to be there.
Yeah.
Through everything. I don't mean no harm, y'all. I've been pastor for 19 years, okay? And I have people here who've been with me 19 years, and I have people here who've been here with me 6 months. I got people who've been with me 5 years. They ain't here no more. I got people been here, and these people have called me dad, and they have told me they love me. They've told me they'll never leave me nor forsake me. I've heard it's okay.
They did all that.
They did all that. You and me will never part. They did all of that. And, you know, where shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, and these folks will leave and get mad because I make a decision or make a correction and I never see them again.
Right.
Never hear from them again. Okay. Now, that's me as a pastor. But y'all have dealt with some of that, too. But know who's always there?
Family.
Okay. My son and I, we went through a period where he was offended with me and told me he needs to go to California and he believe God taking us in different directions and he sees himself having a whole entire different ministry than me and all that, and he's still sitting right here.
I was five years old.
No, you wasn't five. I was five. No, he wasn't five. He was around 20, 22, something like that. You know, I got sisters, I got family, man, and some of these folks just as trifling as they can.
Honey, my sister-in-laws are wonderful people.
No, I was talking about your people.
Oh.
You set yourself up for that.
No, my sisters are great, too.
Okay.
You know,
but they're family. You got trifling family members. You got crazy family members. You got family members get on your nerves. But family gonna be there for each other, okay? And you may be mad at them while you're there for them and talking about how trifling they are for ever being in this situation. And if you wasn't so dumb, you wouldn't. But then you still giving them the money anyway and helping them out because family gonna be there.
Yeah.
So let me encourage y'all. I know y'all got some good friends, but I don't care. These other folks, the Ninevites and the Hebrews and Hebrews, these folks will leave you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
That's good, honey.
And so, you know, and though the nature of your families may change, never totally cut off your family.
Mm.
Because they're going to be there when nobody else is there. Amen.
Amen.
And some of you got crazy mamas and crazy dads and all that, but that's still your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Which means be careful. That means you part crazy. So they gave birth to you. And then you get married and then you make dumb stuff. My husband's so dumb. My wife is so dumb, which means you dumber because you married her. If you got enough smarts to realize how dumb they are, why you marry them? So the best thing to do is just shut up. Don't even say nothing.
I would like to add to that because you're talking about family, and at the end of the day, we're still family. And many of y'all know here that my mother is suffering from Alzheimer's. And we went through a period of time where it got really uncomfortable. Our relationship was really, really strained because of the fact that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and my family was Catholic. And so we were at odds. And then, you know, I got married, and she really didn't like my
married a Pentecostal preacher from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Yeah, so it's like we went through highs and lows in our relationship, and I never ever foresaw a time that my mother would lose her speech. I never knew there was a time that sometimes she would maybe remember me occasionally. Mm-hmm. And so life has a way, when you get older, putting things into perspective. But the thing is, you don't get do-overs.
Yeah.
You know, and so I have to, honestly, y'all, I have to live with some thoughts of postures and behaviors that I had because I was young. I was immature. And because of that, there was times I got this tape that rolls on in my head that, you know, my mother wanted to have conversations, wanted to talk. I didn't have time. I would give anything in the world to have a 5-minute conversation with my mother. That's the reality of my season of my life, but I can't. So I'm sharing this and being transparent with y'all so that hopefully by the Spirit of God, He will help you to put things in perspective. And if you can take a fast forward into your life 20 years or 30 years, and then you can look back and see where things are and see how much time goes on and puts things in perspective, how small things do become. you realize, you know, hey, I could have swallowed that, or I could have buried that, or I could have done differently with that. I have an aunt who went home to be with the Lord, born safe. She was the only basically safe one in our family at the time.
And when I used to preach, she used to come around to, you know, to hear me preach.
Right. But she wasn't speaking to the rest of her sisters.
Now, think about that. She the saved one. She wasn't born again. Speaking in tongues. Went to a Pentecostal church. She when the other family members were Catholic, didn't come around to me. And then she came. She was at the services I preached at, but she didn't. I don't think we really even still know what the real issue was. But she didn't speak to her siblings. And then to some degree, there were some breaches with the offspring as well. And what does that say about us as Christians? You know, one thing you heard me praying about, I was alluding to it when I prayed about it. You know, one of the things I prayed that even through the Charleston massacre is that God will get glory in the midst. And God has gotten glory. There are people, watch this, there are people, they have been amazed by our Christian faith.
Yeah.
They are amazed to see people who can walk in love and walk in forgiveness. And that's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, they're going to know you are my disciples by your love. Your family is going to know you are Jesus' disciples by your love, despite how hateful they may be. Because you're the one who names the name of the Lord. You're the one who professes to know the word. You're the one who speaks in tongues and shundai and everything.
It's a hard thing sometimes. Yeah. It's hard, but we got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, walking love ain't necessarily easy. Mm-mm. That's why you got to. That's why you got to do it by the Spirit of God. You can't do it in the flesh. Yeah.
All right.
So let's move on here. We talked about newly married last week. Let's move on. We're talking about this. The third stage that we're talking about is referred to as the new young couple with family stage, but it's also referred to as the founding stage. You know, when the first year of this ministry, it's the founding year of this ministry. When you're starting it, you're establishing roots. And so when you first have young children, that's the founding stage. That's the childbearing years. You're childbearing adults. Now you're caring for and you're prioritizing around children. This is the couple with children here. And now watch this. And then with children comes, now we got some new titles in the family. We have these family titles called grandparents. Okay. I didn't choose to be a grandparent. They made me a grandparent.
They sure did.
Okay. I didn't pray to be a grandparent. That automatically put me in a new category when they had children. And so now we have parents. You have children. As you have more children, you have siblings. But you also have grandparents. And all that got to be navigated. Okay. And one of the things, let me first start from the grandparents' standpoint. Grandparents got to realize that you are grandparents. You are not the parents, and stuff that you would do differently. Well, some of that stuff they're gonna have to learn. Okay, you know, I watch grandparents, you know, treat a mother or a child like they a young adult parent like they too. Hold that baby's head up. Cover that. The other side. What's wrong with you? They are parents. They gonna learn. I mean, you can give them some counsel, you know. But at the end of the day, that's their children. And one of the biggest things grandparents have to know how to do is to set up boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, you can give them counsel just like you do your other young children. Right. Sometimes it's as needed as warranted.
Yeah. Yeah. We tell ourselves sometimes they're not our kids.
Right. We come home and say, you said, they're not.
They got it.
Yeah. And then the other part in our case, sometimes we want to rescue them out of everything.
Yeah.
We don't want them to go through nothing.
Yeah.
We hear about something, we want to, Dr. Love, mom and dad to the rescue. And, but some stuff, he's like, come rescue me. No, it's like, no, something that they need, they're going to work through it. Watch this. As a young man of God, he's going to have to learn to work his faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to work, right. You got to work your faith. He got to work for his own family before he can work for a ministry. So some of this is development years and learning years. And sometimes we just have to We have to just step back. Okay. So during this time, and as in their case, you got preschool children. And first you have the infant, then you got preschool children. And children are demanding. Okay? Parents, you don't have to be embarrassed to acknowledge that. Yes, it's okay. They are demanding. They are, and they know they're demanding. Yeah. They learn they're demanding when they learn in the crib. And they go, and you come get them. They say, nah, that's how that's work, huh? I see how this work now. And it take you a while to realize they ain't dying. And they working you. And they're being demanding. They're manipulating you and all that. And some of y'all, I don't know, we didn't get to this. Some of y'all, you let them manipulate you. They're 5 years old, never slept in their own bed. And they're controlling you. And
I'm saying, devil is a liar.
No, the devil is a liar because we wasn't having it. And champ, this one here. When he learn to jump out of that crib?
He wasn't walking.
He wasn't even walking yet, but he learned. I mean, we were like, what is that? We were jump go. Then he come walking. How you get out of that crib? Walking, crawling, and then we know what pet was like to go. We remember putting him back to. No, you're going to let, we are right next door. We're going to be okay. You'll be all right. No, because children, they're demanding, but they got to learn what it's part of being in the part of this family, just like you do. Mm-hmm. And y'all got to work this thing through. And we know several parents who got that child sitting up there in the middle, laying up there in the middle of the bed for 5 years. Jesus. Now, mama, you may think it's cute. Daddy never think that's cute. There ain't nothing fun about having a baby laying up in the bed. And even if you put him on the other side, tell him to be quiet. That's the devil. Oh. We don't want no quiet. We want screaming. Anyway, come on, let's move on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I saved some of that for marriage enrichment. Marriage enrichment. Be quiet. I'm sorry. Okay. Children, man. So you have children. Now your priorities got to change.
Right.
Your priorities have to change. Whether it's you working as much as you did, or you spending time with your girlfriend, or hanging out with the boys. A lot of that should have changed when you got married. But all the more so when you have children. Whether it's what you did on weekends, whether it's how much time mothers that you spend on the phone talking to your girls, priorities have to change. And if you don't learn to change your priorities, you're not going to be an effective parent. Priorities have to change. And then you must strike a healthy balance between extended family, your parents and or grandparents, your spouse and your children. Now, all that has to be juggled and balanced. Again, my young single adults, they don't have to balance none of that. As a matter of fact, my daughter, she usually FaceTimes us at midnight, around midnight. And she FaceTimes us to call us, talking about, what y'all doing? What do you think 50-something-year-old people doing at midnight? We're sleeping or trying to go to sleep, okay? But, she's a single young adult. Well, think your hours got to change.
Yeah.
What time you get up? What time you go to bed? All those things have to change when you have young children. So you got to strike that healthy balance. And then one of the other things I want to point out is that when you have these young children in this stage, you have to protect your child's environment. Watch this. And sometimes you got to protect your child's environment even from your family members. And they may not understand that. You are people of faith. You are people who talk. You create some kind of atmosphere in your house. You talk faith. You talk healing. You talk success. Come on now. You talk abundance. Your family talk
lack,
insufficiency, death, sickness, and cuss all the time. And they don't understand. Well, how can you bring the children around here? Well, no, and sometimes you can't explain that. Okay? You just got to do what you got to do to protect your child's environment. Some of you hear me talk about my mother's only sibling. She had one sister. That's my Aunt Dottie, who lives in Fayetteville now. My sister takes care of her, which has been a real blessing to me, because at one time I thought that was going to be my responsibility. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do what we're going to do. Pastor Marcia, with her wonderful self, she was even prepared to let her come to the house, right? And she's always smoked. I think she's still smoking. And I said, I don't know, we're going, well, you know, I'll lock out on the back porch. And, you know, but anyway, my sister, but my aunt, she's the kind of woman, she always had to be the life of the party. You know, have to say something shocking. Any of y'all got those people in your family? They got to be the life of the party. They got to say something shocking. No matter how abrasive it may be, cuss like a sailor, and then call himself being sweet and endearing, they're still being mean and nasty. You know, in my case with Kendra, we wasn't around a whole lot. She saw, come here with your little fat, ugly self. And Kendra started crying. Why is she calling me fat and ugly? But she mean, you sweet. Children don't understand that.
Right.
And so we had to limit my children's contact around people who talk like that and act like that. You got to protect your child's environment in terms of where you take them. You may have to protect your child's environment in terms of who you allow come over your house. You definitely got to protect your child's environment regarding what houses you let your kids go to. Even if they go to Right Direction Church International and been a member for 10 years, you don't know that what they do in their house.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but they in the church.
That doesn't matter.
You ain't seen me over the house. Really, you can't let your children go to everybody's house. I remember one time someone invited us over for dinner, and we know our own kids. Our kids are loud. If they're loud and you hear them, everything good. They get quiet. What's going on? Let's go. And y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, so we there with this couple, all of a sudden get quiet. Like, excuse me. We come, y'all come on back in here. We don't know what's going on out there.
Right.
Y'all too quiet. Okay? You got to protect your children's environment. And parents, you're responsible for that. You're responsible, and nobody's gonna tell you. You got. And here's another aspect that we have to look at, because natural order thing. We're talking about single, and then married, then having children. But in your situation, you could be a single parent because things didn't go in that natural order like that. Now your priorities all the more got to change because you're a single adult. So you feel I can be independent, but you got a child. You're not obligated to a man or a woman, but you are obligated to that child. And you can't conduct yourself like you're single and then get mad because you want to go out and party on Friday night and your parents who are in their 50s or 60s don't want to babysit and you think we bad grandparents. No, we launched you.
Right.
This is our time. It's our time to date now on Friday night, And so you have to set your priorities around your children.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I want to bring in the Young Baileys over here regarding protecting the environment.
Sure.
Because that's one thing I noticed, that they really, really conscious of that, even with us. They might be regarding faith. They're teaching their children faith. Yeah. And they're teaching their children how to talk faith. And they also very conscious of their children's self-esteem. That's one thing I noticed. And so there's things that, we might be doing and we might say something, and we might be joking and laughing. I don't know exactly what was the context, but you refer to this all the time. And recently, Righteous said something.
Yeah.
And then and we laughed and he was like, God is real, right?
Yeah.
He can do it,
And
that's
so,
what he told us.
And so they're teaching. And so one of the things that they are communicating with the kids, that God is real. And there's nothing that he can't do.
Every family will go through stages in life. You may be the single adult trying to find your way, or a young family raising small children. Maybe you've already launched your kids into adulthood, and now you're enjoying the retired years. You have to understand and know how to navigate whatever season you're in. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their guests will help you to appreciate and manage each stage of your family's life. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Family Life Cycle. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.